Today, joined by Karan Talwar, we're going to talk about an epic industry pickup matchup we had last week. Went down to the wire. I have a question about his lineup on that last day as well. Let's see what his answer is to that question. This is the, I don't know, the industry pickup recap show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us. Please go and subscribe. Also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Dan Bespris on Twitter. And they are also on Blue Sky. And I think it's at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky. But go and bother Dan, ask him that question. As I said, joined by Karan today. Let's bring him in to talk about our industry pickup matchup from last week, which went right down to the last day. Mate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Not quite as busy as you, I don't think. We were talking off air and life in London. It takes some adjusting too, it sounds like, in terms of the when you work and when you don't work. And it's been busy for you the last week or so.
Yeah, last couple of weeks I had COVID for 10 days, so it took me out for a multiple time. And then we've had guests over. My mother-in-law is here, so we've just been hanging out with her, showing her London. Rewatching Harry Potter as well, because it's a Christmas thing to do. So we're on a second movie now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it maybe like 10 times, 12 times, read all the books, but every time I still enjoy watching it. It's just one of those things.
Yep, it is. The new... Is it a movie or a new TV series?
TV show. They're casting for it. I was reading, like, they've got some, seems like they've got some big hitters for some of the roles. Mm.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, because I think Harry Potter is something that resonates with so many people, and you're so familiar with who played the character. It's going to be weird to see other people playing those characters. So a bit of a gamble, but hey, there's money there to be made on Harry Potter. We know that. It's a very lucrative franchise.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me bring up the screen. All right, so I've pulled up the industry picker. I thought we'd start with the standings, just to have a look at that, and then we'll have a look at our matchup, as I said, from last week. And it's close. It's very close. Not surprising. What is surprising is that I am sitting atop the standings.
No wonder we started with this. You know, this should be like the cover picture.
It should, because it might not last. I am currently first in industry pickup, which is nice. Look, it is very nice, I won't lie. You're down in eighth, but you're only four wins behind me. It's very close in that top bunch. And for example, if I was to lose this week 4-5 and you were to win 7-2, you'd be within one win of me, and I'd probably drop to about fifth. So every week, which again isn't surprising with who is in this league, every week is difficult. And how have you found the league so far? Were you in it last year in industry pickup?
No, this is the first time.
Okay,
I'm enjoying it, man. I think it's like out of the last five matchups, I have lost four of them, four or five. So it's really coming down to the wire in some of them. The waiver wire is also like pretty active. People are making plays for like daily. People are making speculative ads as well for sort of injuries or other players like that. I'm enjoying it a lot, and it's good to see so many sort of different punch strategies, different kind of strategies at play as well. Obviously yours with the strong five cat and everything else, and then there's other people doing that as well. So, yeah, it's been really fun, really eye-opening, competitive as well.
All right. So let's bring up the scoring from last week. Okay. So here's our Here's our score from last week. So I did end up winning 5-4 in this one. And I believe I won my categories. I did. So I won my five categories that I need to win because I've no chance of winning the others, really. But this match came down to field goal percentage because you had me early in the week, probably for the first 5 days, I want to say. You were ahead of me by about 2%. You were sort of 52-ish and I was 50-ish, something like that. And then I got lucky on the last few days. I was able to just play Walker Kessler and Derek Lively and these guys that I'm hoping will hit 70% of their shots, and they just got me over the line. But something, I mentioned this at the top of the show, something I did notice on the last day is that you benched TJ McConnell.
Oh, man. FG streamer TJ McConnell, 14 of 19 shooting TJ McConnell.
Yes. And because I was watching him, because I have TJ in a couple of other spots. Yeah. So I was watching that game and then and I thought, oh, shit, Karan's going to get me here because of TJ McConnell. But then I vaguely remembered looking in the morning or sort of before the games tipped off and thought, oh, no, he's got TJ on the bench for today. What was that? What was the thinking there? Only because I was sort of thinking TJ is usually efficient for a guard. And and so I thought, oh, if he's in there, he could be a bit of a difference. Luckily, you didn't. Was it a strategic move, an oversight? What was the thinking there?
Yeah, so I had to play two of Dosunmu, Beal, or TJ, right? Okay. And because just the games I had left, because the others were Okongwu, Carter, and Aiton. I had to play them. Levine had the forward spot. I had to play him. DeAndre Hunter had the power forward spot. I had to play him, right? So it was just between Flex 2 and G where I played Dosunmu instead. I just went for the guy who was on a hot streak. Dosunmu had a game, a couple of games before that, which was like 70%, 30 points or something like that. So I played the guy who was starting and who I thought had a decent matchup in Philly, you know, with Philly's struggles at the moment. In hindsight, obviously, should have played TJ or whatever. But I don't think I was ever going to bench Bradley Beal. I don't think I would have done that. I think it was between Dosunmu and him. And I played the guy with the minutes. Then I did the math later on to see if I had just played TJ instead of Dosunmu, would I have won? But no, I wouldn't have. It'd be 51.9 for me and 52.2 for you. So that made me feel maybe an iota better, but if I would have won that and I was like, gosh, why did I bench him? Also, the other thing is, like, I think I dropped earlier on in the week, I dropped Brandon Clark because they said Zach Edey was going to come back. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, I think you picked him up and he had nine of 11, a 9 of 10 shooting game. I'm like, this is coming to bite me in the ass.
I did notice him there. And look, I mean, he hadn't been playing super well. The only reason I picked him up was because he was starting. All I needed was field goal percentage, and I know that he is an elite in that area, but usually very low volume, 4 shots, 3 shots, that sort of thing, which you can see from where I'm assuming you dropped him after this game against Sacramento.
Exactly.
Where he went 2 for 2, then he was 4 for 6, 4 for 5, 2 for 4. So elite, efficient, but low volume. And then I picked him up, and of course he went 15 of 21 in 2 games.
Yeah.
Which probably that helped me. I love Brandon Clark as well, and I have to say I wasn't expecting him to go 9 of 11 in that first game. So that
against
was a nice
Boston, that too, you know, at Boston.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was I got lucky there. But look, fantasy is about luck as well. Skill can take you so far, but we definitely know that injuries play a factor in fantasy every day. So let's go to the scoring for this week. Now this week, this is a 2 week matchup for us in industry pickup. So this was set up, I know, with Yahoo leagues. This week is actually the second week of a 2 week matchup. For us here in industry pickup, it was set up so that the two short weeks are merged rather than one long week and one standard or one short week. So this is a 14 day matchup, although there aren't games on all 14 days. So currently you're up against Josh, and Josh is second in the standings, so it doesn't get any easier for you. And you're currently tied with him 4-4-1. So what are you, so for this matchup this week, have you sort of looked at where your strengths are, where Josh's strengths are, and what a strategy might be? And are you willing to talk about it just in case Josh is watching along?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I mean, for me, this week is sort of the one wherein it's you play your 10 best players, because it's like the games over 2 weeks is just four games at the maximum for a team, right? So you're going to get each spot, you're going to get those four games in and you're done, right? So one thing I have done this week is I've tried to stash players who I'm not going to start this week. Like I already had Miles McBride and TJ, which are sort of stashes who are giving back-end-ish value right now. Then I picked up Kelly Olynyk just as a speculative ad, seeing what happened with Scott Barnes. I don't think he's going to start or anything, but I just thought I'd pick him up. If he can carve out 25 minutes, 24 minutes, he can have a decent crack at top 100 value. So for me, I'm just going to start my 10 best players this week. And towards the end, maybe like middle of next week, then I will start to see, okay, is Josh leading in these categories? Do I have a chance to win? Like, for example, in our matchup earlier on, first few days, I thought, like, obviously, stupidly enough now, that I had a chance with you in steals. Because I had a good start in steals, and I was like, oh, listen, Adam hasn't lost steals in 7 weeks, but yeah, why not? I'll try for steals. So I picked up, like, Hayward Highsmith and stuff to try and get that category, but then I soon realized with the people you have, it's not possible. So similar to that, I'll see the first few days, and then where we're close. Right now, there's barely been any games played. Like, he's had a few guys who played because he has Jalen Brunson. I have Karl Anthony Towns, who's had a game as well. So it's basically that. I want to see a few more games, few more game days, and then see where the streaming may lie.
Yeah, and obviously I touched on injuries there. And looking at your roster, you have LaMelo Ball, Cam Thomas, Zion. So you've got three of your, at least starters who are not playing at the moment. I think if we wanted to extrapolate that, what you mentioned there about not many games have been played this week, which that's pretty obvious. I think for anyone in any league this week, I wouldn't overreact to a scoreline after three. This is day three of the week. So after the first couple of days, because as you said, I know in my matchup, I'm up against Alex Burns this week, I think, and he's leading me at the moment. He's up 5-2-2, but each of us have had three players, so I'm not bothered at all. And I mean, if you look at today, I have four players, he has none. So I'm going to go ahead in a couple of those categories that I'm losing. Precious Achiuwa is someone I picked up, obviously. I don't know how he's going to go today, but Maybe I need Towns to get an injury or something. I can't say that, can I? No, I shouldn't say that. I think anyone playing fantasy this week, I wouldn't be too bothered at this point by the scoreline or anything like that, because it's such a small sample size it's just not worth it. So, any other thoughts on industry pickup? I mean, we're in the auction bracket or the auction division or whatever we want to call it. There's three divisions, I'm pretty sure, isn't there? There's a auction redraft, a snake redraft, and a roto, I believe.
Roto, yep, correct.
Yeah. Was there a reason you went with the auction one? Did you pick that over the others for any specific reason or...
Yeah, for me, it was because it's really hard to find a good auction with people, right? Because that's a draft, at least for me and the people I play with. It's hard to do that. And then also, I feel like with Snake, obviously, all of our strategies are different in Snake as well. But there's a certain way in which it's easy, not easy, but it's easier to tell or predict what people are going to do in a Snake draft versus what they're going to do in an auction draft, right? Like if someone's available in the 60s, you have a good idea that they're probably either going to go early 60s, late 60s, but that's it, right? That's their range. Mm-hmm. Whereas in auction, it's just, as we know, anything can happen. And with people in our group, some of the people, obviously like yourself and a few others, have had an auction experience for a while. And there's others in this group as well, I think, who probably have only done one or two auctions, like Mitch and myself. this is like our second auction league, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to choose it. I was like, okay, this is going to be more interesting, more sort of fun for me than a regular snake. And I think next year also, I mean, anything could change, but next year also, if we do this, like, I'd probably still want to do auction. Because just because the fun element of how it goes when Josh nominated Dalton Connect and all the hoo-ha happened there, like that kind of stuff, you know, it's just fun for me.
Yeah. So before I let you go, this is something that I do this before every matchup every week, is to have a look at the season stats and have a look at where I compare to my opponent. So where are my strengths? Where are my weaknesses? And that gives me a bit of an idea. I mean, for me, it's pretty obvious because I punt so hard that I really want to be ahead in the five categories. But a good so actually, let me just go back to the standing. So this is an example of why punting doesn't always work or why it can be hard. So I'm first in the standings, and I'm up against Alex Burns this week, and he is 11th with 24 wins. So if you look at that, and for most people, you look at that and go, this should be a pretty comfortable win for me, just based on where I am, where he is. But if I go to, because I did this and I was surprised, if I go to the season standings and have a look at, now my five categories that I'm strong in are field goal percentage, rebounds, blocks, steals, and turnovers. They're the five that I really lent into. Field goal percentage, I'm first, he is second, and it's close. It's 51.7, 51.5. Rebounds, he's first, I'm second, so he beats me in rebounds. Steals, I'm first, so I win steals, and you can see he's last in steals. Blocks, I'm first, and he's sort of mid-table. And then and turnovers, I win. So field goal percentage and rebounds this week are going to be very, very close. And if I lose those, I'm stuffed because I'm so bad in assists and threes that I can't win. So for me going into this week, I've had a look and I've gone, okay, steals, I'm well ahead of him. So I don't really need to focus on steals this week. So if I look at my roster and I have Alex Caruso there on the bench, I have Tari Eason today, I'm not even going to play them. Because I don't need the steals that they bring me, because I'm probably going to win with Dyson there, OG Anunoby, Jalen Williams. I'm probably going to get enough. So for me this week, my focus is rebounds and field goal percentage. So that's why I'm playing Precious Achiuwa today in the hope that he is efficient. He isn't always efficient, Precious Achiuwa. But I'll get these guys, like I'll cycle through Derek Lively, Mark Williams, Mason Plumlee, Walker Kessler, these guys. And that'll be where I focus my attention this week. Is that something that you do? Like, do you try to forecast what your matchup is going to look like?
Yes, absolutely. And this is exactly what I would do as well. Just look at like historical trends. Because now we're in week 8, week 9, right? So there is a bit of historical data that we have. So yeah, I would look at this. And if it's FG and rebounds, right, it's then your Kevon Looney's of the world you got to pick up maybe at some point. You know, like all those, like you picked up Achiuwa, obviously. If Josh Hart misses, maybe there's a little bit more for him today anyways, because Josh Hart is questionable. And I think, do you find that in your matchups this year in this league, what's been the category, the swing category the most? I feel like steals you would probably never have as a swing category. So has it usually been one of the percentages like FG? No, because FT is obviously punt.
Yeah, look, it's... I think I've only lost one matchup. And that was... I can't remember who that was to. It was in sort of the third week and it was turnovers. Turnovers is the category that cost me. And that was because... yeah, I can't think who I was up against. I don't know, Angle Fantasy. It was one of those guys. Anyway, they figured out that turnovers is obviously an interesting category because you can win it by playing less players.
Yep.
And so they just didn't play their guys because I'm bad in four categories. They didn't have to roll out their entire roster to beat me in points, threes, assists, and free throws. So they were able to play... I think they only ended up playing like 29 players for the week. And I didn't pick up on that. That was sort of my bad. If I'd picked up on that earlier in the week, I would have done exactly the same and played less players. So turnovers was a swing category. But yes, I think most weeks, if I'm on the ball and I'm paying attention to games played and things like that, it will probably be field goal percentage. Because as you know, there's an element of luck with any category, but with field goal percentage, like we saw with TJ McConnell, he is not going to shoot that well on high volume ever, really.
Yeah.
And same with Brandon Clark for me. He went 9 of 11, which easily his best game of the year. And yeah. I just got lucky that you dropped him and I picked him up. So that was, again, luck. So I can't remember back to the draft. It was so long ago. But did you have a punt strategy or did you just sort of go with best player available?
I tried to go with balanced as much as I could. But then obviously, it may not have been the best thing to do because I think some of my big man stats, some other teams are way stronger in. Yeah. But yeah, I tried to go as balanced in 7 to 8 categories that I would win and potentially have not a win, be average or slightly above average in, so I could get to that. I think in hindsight, the kind of punt that you've done, the proper Anthony Davis five category punt, and even what I think Fantasy Trash Talk has done, he's done the exact opposite punt build, right? I think in looking at how the league is going right now, it's seeming like the strategy that's the one to beat at the moment. But obviously, it's maybe 12 more weeks left, so we'll see what goes on there. But another thing I've noticed is the Wire does have some good players still. So I think people are holding on to some of their guys, and there are people on the Wire which you'd probably be okay, they if I had a stream spot, I would put them in. But I'm just more for the stashing at the moment. But maybe I pivot my strategy and actually get one of those 10 active spots to be a stream spot, right? And then I just get the best people in that week. So yeah, that's something I'm thinking about as well. Do I need to hold on to the Miles McBrides and the TJs of the world, or should I just sort of get the hottest guy that week?
Yeah. And there are a few names there. I'm just sort of looking through the waivers there now. And Brandon Boston's there, Tamani Kamara, Anthony Black. Derek Jones, but he's injured at the moment. Caris LeVert. So there are a lot of fringy guys there that in a lot of leagues would probably have been streamed in or picked up as a one-day kind of thing. It is active, but like I said, in my case, Mason Plumlee is probably not someone that needs to be rostered, but I'm holding him because he gets rebounds and he's efficient and he's had some good shot blocking games this year. So he just fits what I'm doing at the moment. So that is another reason that I like punting, because I can hold on to guys that seemingly have very little value, but for me, they actually have quite a lot of value. So it's been an interesting league thus far, and I'm sure will continue to be really tight. As I said, one big loss by me, I could tumble down the standings and a big win. You said you've lost sort of four of your last five or three of your last four, four or five. You win a couple of those and you're probably second in the standings.
Yeah. It's pretty close. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun year.
It is. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to go and record a pregame show for tonight. But I know you've been busy with work and obviously the move to London and that sort of thing, which I'm assuming you're all settled now. I know that sort of took a while and took you away from fantasy basketball a little bit just while you were going through that. It's not a move down the street. It's a big move to another country. What have you got sort of going on at the moment?
Yeah, so everything I'm doing, it's on Twitter at the moment with in my handle, Karan_Talwar27. I tend to do sort of what am I watching for lists every other day or every day. And I tend to put out content about people I think should be added, should be dropped, etc. And all my fantasy thoughts up there. So yeah, check me out there. And we're almost 30% into the season now. It's gone by fast, man. Soon we'll be thinking about playoffs and matchups and all that kind of fun stuff. So good times ahead.
Yeah, it has gone fast. And this, as we said, this week and next week are a little bit weird because we've only got two games and one game. And I think we've even got a day off next week, one or two days where there's no games. And then we sort of have the Christmas break. It's not really a break. And then it ramps up in January and free agency and all that sort of stuff. So there's going to be a lot happening, trades. I hope there's trades and
yeah, stuff,
real trades.
Like all the rumors for Jimmy Butler and what's happening with him and like Brandon Ingram. I don't know, man, when and if a trade's going to happen in December. Maybe in January it does. Feb obviously is the time.
Yeah, it always makes things spicy in fantasy. Yeah. So, no, thank you for jumping on. It was good to recap industry pickup. I'd like to do this weekly, but it's hard with everything else that's going on. So good to get a recap show in. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And as I said, go and find us, go and subscribe, all that sort of stuff. I'm Adam King. Here's Karan Tawa. This has been an industry pickup recap show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.